This is Beyond Mentorship with Dr. Nimrod Mbele, a show that matches business mentees with exceptional mentors to provide the skills and knowledge to navigate the entrepreneurial journey. Beyond Mentorship is brought to you with the compliments of Plus 94 Research, the science of decision making.
A very good evening to the listeners of 101.9 High FM as well as 91.9. This is Beyond Governance. My name is Nimrod Mbele. I hope you have had a fantastic week and you are looking forward to start off your week on a positive note. We all know that this is going to be a short week as most people are likely to take Friday off to try and recuperate. Having said that, we know that if you are a small business owner, you have no luxury of spending time, particularly in instances where there is not much productivity taking place. So, that's what it is. As always, I'm always, you know, delighted to share this space and time with you as we continue to disseminate very useful content, which hopefully adds value to small businesses. Anyway, before we get into the gist of our conversation, I want to thank Michael McKenna and his team, as well as my team, Craig Kudri, who is on the controller, and of course, Harris Leke, who is the producer of the Soul Gentleman. Thank you very much in advance. I'm looking forward to have an interesting time with you as we navigate the show. Last week, I had a very interesting conversation with Helen Itzken, who is the HOD at ORT Jet. We heard how ORT Jet is transforming the economy by championing the growth of small businesses through training and mentorship. I was quite excited to hear that they have more than 300 qualified mentors who support small businesses to deal with a wide range of business issues. If you missed that particular show, not to worry. Simply go to our website, download, go to Beyond Mentorship, and you'll obviously be able to find that particular link. And we are happy to hear your thoughts via our SMS line, which is 34519. The Telegram is 061-895-1019. And of course, your views and thoughts are most welcome via my X handle, which is Dr. Mbele. In today's episode, we're putting spotlight on internet and internet connectivity for small businesses. It is common cause that issues relating to internet and connectivity have become so vital in any business, particularly in a small business where they are able to leapfrog and obviously, you know, take advantages of different products and services that are offered by companies that are involved in that particular space. We know that it's quite important that we understand or how we navigate the challenges of volatility, uncertainty, complexity, and ambiguity, the so-called VUCA world, because any business needs to have a good sense of who to partner with, what kind of product and services are worthy of their businesses based on their size, and so on and so forth. In making sense of that interesting conversation, I'm joined by Theo van Zyl, who is the head of Vox Wireless. Without any waste of time, Theo, thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks, Dr. Norwood. Good to join you.
Fantastic. You know, there are so many of you, there are so many Theo van Zyl, I would imagine. Who is Theo, you know, this one, who is head of Vox Wireless? Who is Theo, and how did you end up in that particular space?
So, Nimrod, I've got 34 years experience in the telecoms industry, been long in the telecoms space, been involved in Wi-Fi projects since Wi-Fi probably started in South Africa. So I've got a lot of years of experience coming from the old cable side of businesses right to where things have moved to wireless. So yeah, been experienced, been there, done that, got the t-shirt. So
absolutely. No, beautiful. No, please proceed.
No, I enjoy it every day. I think it's every day is a new challenge in South Africa, connecting the masses out there, finding better ways of connecting people. And Wi-Fi, I believe, definitely one of the key aspects of connectivity out there. It doesn't matter if you've got fiber or wireless connectivity, but if you don't have good Wi-Fi, yeah, what's the good of providing any connectivity to your customers?
I'm definitely looking forward to have those kind of conversation yourself. Like, we're gonna quickly take a break, and when we come back, we'll sink our teeth more and more on those kind of issues that you've already presented to us.
This is Beyond Mentorship with Dr. Nimrod Mbele. Is brought to you with the compliments of Plus 94 Research, the science of decision making.
Welcome back and thanks for joining us. We haven't really missed a thing. We have just literally started our conversation. I'm joined by Theo van Zyl, who is head of Vox Wireless. You know, perhaps maybe just to get a sense on how important wireless is. Theo, take us through here. How crucial it is for business owners to provide a reliable Wi-Fi experience for their customers or clients?
Yeah, Dr. Nando, I think it's absolutely very crucial in today's life. So I think there's an expectation from the customer to have access to good Wi-Fi. I think he's entitled to it. Many people say they're entitled to good Wi-Fi when they go about to businesses, to B&Bs, coffee shop, restaurants, any small business. People want good access to Wi-Fi. So I think it's important to note that when you do provide customers with good Wi-Fi, you have to also give them a good customer experience, a good customer journey when signing up and connecting to that Wi-Fi. So we hear a lot from our prospective customers that, you know, have tried Wi-Fi in a DIY fashion sometimes, that they lose customers, you know, they don't want to stay longer if they're a B&B or if they're a restaurant or a coffee shop. People want to stay, they want to read the news, they want to listen to podcasts, they want to listen to your station, whatever it might be, they need good Wi-Fi at the end of the day. So if you don't give that seamless and good experience to them, you are actually in today's life standing a chance of not having customers, you know, enjoying your business or coming to your business, for that matter.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more because this show typically tries to promote small businesses, and it is important for them to understand how important it is. One issue that you raise is obviously given the budgetary constraint, most people, you know, go for DIY and that has its own limitations. And of course, without pushing a particular brand or without pushing a particular provider, and obviously we understand that it is, you know, for me to go into this space, I need to look at my budget. So that's the very important point that you've just raised with us. But the natural progression of our question would be, from your experience, what constitutes good Wi-Fi?
So I think what constitutes Wi-Fi, a good Wi-Fi, is all about a good customer journey. So when customers come to you, how do they connect to your Wi-Fi and how easy it is for them to connect to your Wi-Fi? So that's all about the experience. So if you're gonna have a customer that has to fill in a long form and get access, have a complicated access key to get access, you're gonna have resistance. People are not gonna find it easy. So very important to get that. The second thing I think is very important is that you have to have good coverage. You don't want dead Wi-Fi hotspots or hot Wi-Fi signals or poor Wi-Fi experience in the corner in the coffee shop. Let's take a coffee shop for instance. You want a good experience as the guy sitting in front of the door where the Wi-Fi is. So you don't want any dead spots or degradation of service in there. So it's very important that you make sure that your Wi-Fi is covered throughout your business where customers will be. And second to that, in South Africa also you have the issue that we have load shedding. So, you know, the lights can go out, but the Wi-Fi shouldn't go out. I mean, you need to have a UPS or backup supply on your Wi-Fi. Even if it's how small, customers still expect they're on their phones, their tablets, their laptops, all battery backup. So when the lights go out, I think the expectation is you always want a connection to your Wi-Fi.
Absolutely. That one would make sense to any business. I mean, I've picked up three variables that you sort of shared with us. One is about how simple it is. It has to be seamless. The connectivity, the login details must be seamless. A passenger walks in there, punch in your whatever code that you require, and you're already there. The second point that you've raised has to do with coverage. Obviously, with a stronger signal, presuppose that you're more likely to have to access internet properly, download whatever material you want to download, and your customer are beginning more and more to enjoy the particular experience because they know when they come to your coffee shop, they spend 200 rands, they know that 200 rands would have been worthwhile because they would have covered so much ground because your coverage is quite well. The third point that you've brought to attention has got to do with the load shedding. that in the context of load shedding, which has become a nightmare for most South Africans. So if you're a small business, you're running, you know, any small businesses, the margins are razor sharp, you know, and productivity obviously depends on reliability. So those are a few points that I've picked up from your end in terms of, you know, ensuring that there's that beautiful or seamless journey of the client, so that they come back to you from time to time. Because if I'm not happy today, based on you know how difficult I've figured it in terms of navigation, the coverage is weak, so I'm going to say goodbye. I'm going to jump to someone else.
You're absolutely right. That is absolutely true. I think the easy way to connect, a lot of small businesses do this, is you can actually give your customers like a 3D barcode you put up, and then they scan it, and you don't need to put in connection details and stuff. You know, it can take you to pages, maybe asking your name and your cell number if you want to, but it actually is easy signing up. It auto-configures your device like your cell phone, and then you connect to the Wi-Fi. So just to mention, I think the quicker and the easier way to do it is always the better way for the customer at the end of the day.
But how do you explain the whole point which suggests that there are risks associated with accessing Wi-Fi in some establishment? And because cybersecurity has become bigger and bigger, people are able to tap into your personal space. What sort of advice would you give a listener who simply just wants to access Wi-Fi without really understanding the ramification of using public Wi-Fi?
So public Wi-Fi can be dangerous, and that is a fact. So I think for you as a business, first, I'm going to start from the business point, is that you should never mix your public Wi-Fi and your private Wi-Fi for your business as one network entity. You should virtualize that network. So you need to create a virtual entity with your own SSID for your Wi-Fi for your business, and you'll create a guest one for your guests. Firstly, you have to do that because you don't want anybody hacking into your business networks or trying to hack into their, how small your business might be. You might have a point of sales device or a little server running or anything like that. You don't want customers or prospective customers getting into that network at the end of the day. Then from a consumer point of view, accessing the network, it's also dangerous because you're sharing the same Wi-Fi network. So you could find people that could potentially try and hack you. So if you're going to do critical business applications, you know, like banking and all that, we usually tell people not to try and do it on a Wi-Fi network. So you don't want to, you know, do that. But if you've got a laptop and you're working from you know, to your work server, and most companies have got virtual private networks these days, if you fire up a virtual private network, you should be okay, because that all that data that goes in there is in a secure tunnel and is encrypted and is secure. But yeah, unfortunately, you know, you do get you know, the opportunity of hackers that exploit customers to get the information on there. But I must say, today's Wi-Fi standards and security measures that we do put in place, and that is there, is to exactly protect that. So there's a lot of security and encryption going in there, but yeah, you always still have that element of chance that it might happen.
Those are very interesting observations indeed, which are beginning to make sense to the listener, who obviously is keen in investing in the Wi-Fi, and the extent to which one needs to be aware of some of the challenges that are associated with public Wi-Fi and business Wi-Fi. So as you've clearly pointed out, if you have your business Wi-Fi, there are security measures that you've put in place to safeguard, you know, the hackers. I think this is quite exciting in so many ways, because through technology, through Wi-Fi, small business can literally benefit immensely. So maybe, you know, we're going to take a break and come back to explore even more on what are some of the benefits of Wi-Fi in increasing revenue, and to a point where a small business can actually compete with the big ones without, you know, it costing arm and a leg. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back in a second.
This is Beyond Mentorship with Dr. Nimrod Mbele. Is brought to you with the compliments of Plus 94 Research, the science of decision making.
Welcome back. This is Beyond Mentorship. My name is Nimrod Mbele. I'm joined by Theo van Zyl, who is the head of Vox Wireless, and he's giving us very interesting insights regarding the connectivity and the importance of Wi-Fi. Before we went to that particular break, I mean, he was giving us thoughts or insights regarding hacking and what needs to be done by a company that needs to safeguard that. Obviously, putting away or having a different platform, you know, public ones are pretty much precarious, as he has pointed out. And thanks for reaffirming that particular message, which I think listeners would heed that. And the most important part is when you are going through a reputable service provider, that service provider needs to ensure security features that are quite credible to a point where you will not lose or any of your information as we proceed. So those are very useful points. But further down, a person will say, okay, I may not have, I don't want to go the DIY route, but I want to invest. What sort of entry level type of Wi-Fi that is applicable or can be accessed by a small man without necessarily spending an arm and a leg?
So, Dr. Norman, there's many options. So there's cost-effective options, which is, you know, nearly like a home user. So if you're a small business and you have like 2, 3, 4 employees, and you maybe don't have many customers coming to your business, then you would opt for a much smaller cost-effective solution. I'm not going to mention any brand names, but you can get, you know, you could probably buy that equipment outright. The disadvantage with that is that when you buy equipment, you as the owner need to make sure that you always make sure that you update with the latest firmware, software, and that you stay on par to circumvent any security threats and stay up to standard with what you've got. The other option I think that is much more lucrative for a business is a rental option. So you pay a small amount a month, you rent a solution, and the business or the providing entity like Vox needs to ensure that your Wi-Fi is up to standard, that the equipment is up and running all the time, that we always make sure that you're up to the latest security patches, and when the next level of equipment comes available, you can just upgrade to that, and you don't have this initial capital outlay that you need to have to get your business started on Wi-Fi. And I think that brings quite a significant change for smaller businesses, you know, because Wi-Fi can become pretty expensive if you go into bigger components. Wi-Fi APs are, I've seen them going 50,000, 100,000 rand an access point. You don't need that for your small business, but you can rent. So rent the model, rent the IP or the solution, and let the service provider take care of all the nitty-gritty work for you. Because there's so many standards out there. You know, if you need to take into account, if you try and do this yourself, you know, you need to think of, are you going to treat the 2.4G Wi-Fi and the 5G Wi-Fi? Then you've got all these 802.11 standards. You saw it on the phones and devices, and nobody knows what all these standards are, how they work, how they need to interwork, how you need to treat all these devices. And it's actually become such a complex science already when you deploy Wi-Fi that, you know, even at home, you need to keep the kids and the wife and everybody happy all the time, because the Wi-Fi is there, you're in trouble. So, and with a small business, you know, you don't want to get your customers disconnected. So when something goes wrong, you want to have them have remote access to be able to fix and resolve an issue on the fly and sort it out for you. Maybe restart an access point, see where the problem is, fix it. Where if you do it yourself, you need to try and pinpoint or solve the problem or get an IT company out to come help you with that. So I think the rent model is much more lucrative for a small business.
Thank you for sharing those kinds of models. Obviously, the cost-effective model could be cost-effective, but there's a lot of updating that needs to do. The software might wear off and you obviously have to go, you know, to back to the service provider to try it and upgrade. And over a period of time, you might have realized that you spend quite a bit. Whereas when you go, when you opt for a rental model, you have a benefit of IT support, I would imagine. In instances where there are glitches, you know, the reality is that if I'm a business person, my only preoccupation or concern is managing my production with less interference, with reliability, with consistency, and so on and so forth. So it is obviously, it makes a lot of sense for one to look at the rented model or rental model, as you've put it, that enables me as a small business to focus on my core business, because I'm able to call on you for any technical glitches. That seems to be a reasonable approach. But to what extent are people more receptive to those kinds? I suppose it's important for one to present alternatives. This is option one, this is option B. Look at the pros and cons on the basis of the comparison, particularly from a financial point of view. You are able to say, well, I'm more inclined to follow this one instead of that one. Your take on that?
Yeah. So I think to compare the model, so it's basically like you can buy the equipment outright. The challenge that you have then is that you don't have all the support and backup of the maintenance part of the product. Where the rental of a service, as we call Wi-Fi as a service today, we provide you, and then you know you look after it all encompassing. It is more expensive, but if you look at the end of the day and you would go and buy this equipment, it could actually cost you more, because now you've got to get somebody out to come and update your firmware. Then you've got to get somebody out to come and fix it with brakes. But if you do the rental model, that is all included in the price. So if it breaks five times a month, hopefully it doesn't, then you know you need to get somebody to come and fix it. But things happen, and that's why we love the rental model. However, the adoption we've seen in the market is that people still, the rental model is picking up well, but people still believe that, you know, they want to own the equipment and own the solution themselves, and they want to own the asset because you can depreciate it and you can put it on your tax. But I don't think the value of Wi-Fi equipment for small business of such value that you can really get that type of tax benefit. So I think to consider to do a rental model is always, in my mind, a much better option for you in the long run. So if you do the maths, I think in the long run, it's going to actually cost you less.
Absolutely. I certainly think and hope the listener is really benefiting from this kind of conversation, because it makes sense to me. And if it's not, and again, it's not every single person who's tech savvy. So if you have a support structure, it makes your business a lot quicker, because the jargon that kept them enthroned, IP, there's this, there's that. I mean, you know, those become really daunting and very confusing for a person who's not savvy. So you want to take away the frustration, you know, away from this, you know, jargon, and focus, or maybe opt for a model that you know you could have a person that's coming through to you to sort it out. As we proceed, one of the issues that we know that technologies evolve and it continues to evolve, you know, how has the technological advancement, particularly with the fiber optics packages like, you know, FTT, made it more feasible for businesses to offer higher speed uncapped internet services compared to the past instances where those services were not there?
No, I just hear you breaking up a little bit on my side. I don't know if I heard you correctly there, but basically is as fiber speeds and all that, you know, increase in the market, we're getting to a point where we have like bandwidth abundance out there, and everybody has 100 meg and a 200 meg line, and some people play with 1 gig lines. And I don't think connectivity is the issue anymore. So when it comes to your whole Wi-Fi experience is that you have the physical capacity in the form of a fiber optic line or high-speed wireless line to actually carry multiple Wi-Fi connections. In the old days, you would find that when you went to a coffee shop and 2, 3, 4 users started connecting, that you get degradation of the experience. And people go like, oh, this is not working for me. I would rather switch to my mobile. But today, because of the high capacity of networks, And the development of Wi-Fi, Wi-Fi standards growing to now Wi-Fi 6, now moving to Wi-Fi 7 as a standard, the capacity of concurrent connections that Wi-Fi can handle is actually mind-blowing. You can now, on higher speed APs, you can connect thousands of customers on one access point. Small business, to connect 100 or 200 connections is not unknown, and it works easy. So ultimately, if you think of that, you have the capacity on the fiber, and with the invention of the new Wi-Fi technologies, you can actually aggregate multiple users on that Wi-Fi without the one affecting the other one's experience. And I think that's important to note of progression of technology with all that, is that you don't have that challenges you had a couple of years ago.
I couldn't agree with you, but that makes absolute lot of sense, that obviously speed is no longer an issue, because there are, as you've correctly pointed out, there are multiple entry points, which makes it a lot efficient, so that we can have as many people logging in without losing the substance, or without losing the connectivity which is required. But the other big issue that any single person will talk about is the cost. I want to take a step back and say, what would have been or should have been government's role in promoting accessibility of fiber or Wi-Fi to ordinary folks, so that small businesses don't have to incur, or small businesses don't have to go through this major headache? Simply put, are we doing enough as government to try and instigate environment where accessibility of Wi-Fi is enough for small businesses to leverage and take advantage of that, so that their businesses, your BNB runs well, your bookshop runs well, your tire shop runs well, your coffee shop runs well? What is it that we are missing, if at all, from government side, so that we, you know, there's more wide accessibility of Wi-Fi to pretty much everywhere? I mean, the reason why I'm asking this question, because when you go to schools, connectivity, some schools, there's absolutely zero. Some areas, there's absolutely zero. So, which means this is a competency of government, I would imagine, but also competence of businesses. But we know business is likely to invest in an environment where government has laid down infrastructure, because it lessens the cost. So where are we from that particular end? Because we would not have folks coming from far-flung areas, rural areas, coming to Joburg because accessibility it's there, whereas they could still be in their own dorpies on outskirts of the, but still having the good quality of product and services, whether you're running a coffee shop, whether you're running a spaza shop, whether you're running any business under the sun. Where are we?
So Dr. Nimrod, yeah, I think we're still far from there, providing proper connectivity to the masses out there that will give you good, reliable speeds. I mean, if you go into the rural areas where a lot of businesses operate today, the connectivity is sometimes nothing, sometimes very little, and we all know that. And I know the government has recently gone out on a tender to actually empower local communities to actually provide local connectivity for the consumers and the businesses in those areas, by partnering with various operators. So I think that is a step in the right direction in terms of providing backhaul connectivity, because very important is you need backhaul connectivity in certain areas, but for operators to deploy that backhaul connectivity is a huge cost. So that is one challenge that they have. So you need government subsidization in a way to get that backhaul connectivity to certain locations to deploy Wi-Fi or wireless connectivity or even fiber connectivity. So that, I think, is where the government is starting to come to the party in a way. Then the second one to that is basically through the spectrum licenses of many of the operators. They're forcing operators to basically go and deploy high-speed mobile or wireless connectivity in certain areas as well. So as a license obligation, they need to go and deploy that there as well. So I think that it's slowly starting to pick up. However, you still have a lot of areas out there that you can provide connectivity to, but you are dependent on satellite. Now, satellite, as we know, is also not a cheap, cost-effective solution. So, business is not going to really afford it, and it's also not a very fast type of connectivity type. So we've been dealing with a lot of schools as well in the rural areas, and we put up satellite connectivity there, but it mainly just serves, the teachers. It doesn't serve the students because the capacity is just not there. So the only way to get the capacity there is to work with government and government to subsidize that backhaul, as we call it, connectivity to those regions, that you can do local distribution using some form of wireless technology, public Wi-Fi, even local fiber. And I think that is a very important aspect to consider when it comes to that. And I think we're lacking that in a way in South Africa.
Well, I mean, it does come across as if they're obviously positive movements, but as you have indicated, movements towards universalization of Wi-Fi, and we're not moving at the right speed, I would imagine. But the principle is there. So we are pretty much getting, because we all know that if accessibility of Wi-Fi could be universalized, so to speak, we are creating huge opportunities for people to become more and more self-reliant. Because if I can have access to Wi-Fi in my little dorpy, I'm saving transport money. Instead of using that money going to I can spend my money or my time on things that really matters, as opposed to being caught up in the logistics of having to move from there to there and there and there, and there's no productivity. So the real essence of Wi-Fi is to support businesses to enhance their productivity. On that note, we're going to take a break and come back in a second.
This is Beyond Mentorship with Dr. Nimrod Mbele. It's brought to you with the compliments of Plus 94 Research, the science of decision making.
Welcome back to Beyond Mentorship. We're having a very fascinating conversation with Theo van Zyl, who is head of Vox Wireless. Before we went to the break, we're just sharing his thoughts regarding how government has done so far in trying to bring in as many players as possible to ensure that businesses focus on the core business, which is business, rather than having to worry about connectivity issues. So I'm quite happy to hear that we are making inroads, not at the same pace that we would like to see, but we are certainly getting there. And while we're still on this macro level around government, I'm sure we are looking at other countries that has done exceptionally well. I would imagine Rwanda. Every now and again, everybody speaks about Rwanda in African continent. What have they done differently to massify, if you like, the rollout of fiber to a point where every single business is within the metropolitan area are becoming successful? Is there something that we need to be learning? Are we learning? And what does it mean for small businesses here at home?
Fernando, I think you're hitting the nail on the head there. So firstly, I think, more government involvement and funding is obviously important to mobilize, connectivity in those countries that are in Africa very successful. And I think second to that is basically small businesses, enabling small businesses in communities to participate in the rollout of wireless or fiber or Wi-Fi connectivity in those regions. So giving those businesses the opportunity to engage with their community around them to actually enable them and have them connect. So you could either buy your vouchers there by the business, or they, you would come to them to order the service. So there's many aspects of that, but I think it's all about community engagement with smaller businesses in those communities that can help get the end users connected and up and running as well. And I think we need to see more of that happening. And I know that's the model that the government has in mind, and the models that a lot of businesses have in mind. And I think that will bring a lot of success in South Africa in connecting the masses out there.
Absolutely. I mean, we definitely need to, in the media space, we need to make more and more noise with partnership with companies such as yourself, to try and agitate government to be more proactive. Obviously, these are resource intensive, but the more people speak about the importance of connectivity, particularly for ailing economies such as ours. You know, we have got informal sector in this country, we've got formal sector in this country. The only way in which folks that are in formal sector can migrate to the formal sector, that is leapfrogging connectivity, plays such an important role, because if more and more people are efficient in their work, the tax revenue goes up, productivity goes up, unemployment gets halved. So there are a lot of positive spin-offs. Which, if we play our cards well, and obviously there has to be a collaborative effort. Government can't do it alone, businesses can't do it alone. So we need to get to a point where we pull our forces together, shoulders on the wheel, across the board. In that way, we could make sure that businesses in Soweto, businesses in Towosa, businesses in Foslo, businesses in every small, whether it's rural area, rural areas or township, those businesses are pretty much in the know and are able to take advantage, because I don't think South Africa, I think we are savvy, tech savvy community. So you better positioned to tell us how far education, but from what you've seen, you know, we've got like 60% of the population is youth, and they're fairly knowledgeable about technology. So it's not like we have to have this big drive in educating, but maybe we might just educate from the product point of view. But in terms of the gadgets, in terms of accessibility, in terms of the knowledge, a lot of people are fairly in the know. So I think that's a very useful point. And of course, to your point about, you know, greater participation, if we have more and more people, communities participating in the rollout of fiber, or rollout of any internet facilities, that would also bring them up to speed with any technological advancement. And we obviously be doing away with the inequities, you know, because with technology, if you don't have access to it, you lag behind. You lag behind, and that's not where we want the country. So those are very interesting observations and thoughts that you're sharing with us, which I think are quite phenomenal. As we're gravitating towards the end of the show, educating small businesses, it's something that perhaps maybe around connectivity, Wi-Fi, you know, different products and services, is something that we still need to push harder. I'm not sure, I don't have the stats. One has to do a bit of research on this, but you are better positioned to say, where are we in relation to educating small business owners about the Wi-Fi functionality? Your take on that?
Yeah, I think it remains a challenge to reach. If you go to the metros, I think a lot of people have access to connectivity, understand Wi-Fi, understand a lot of that. They know how important it is. If you go to the more rural areas, I think it becomes less. And the challenge that you face there is also not just the connectivity side and the educational side, but also a very important aspect is the cost of devices to access the Wi-Fi. So if you've got a normal cell phone that is just a phone that can call and so on, then you're not going to have the need to connect to Wi-Fi. So it's all about the whole ecosystem. So it's the enablement and, you know, educating that business that you need a tablet, you need a laptop, you need a smartphone to be able to access the internet through Wi-Fi and consume content, if it's educational content, however it might be, but you need that device. And those devices costs are still sometimes high. And I think that is one of our challenges in South Africa. How do we bring the cost of those devices down? And secondly, how do we enable those businesses to participate in the Wi-Fi? In the metros, everybody knows that you do have some form of smartphone, and you will be able to connect to some form of Wi-Fi, either provided by the government or small business or shop or coffee shop. Everybody finds their way in the metro areas very easily. But when you go to the rural areas, it becomes much more challenging. And the communities there, I think one of the big thing that they suffer is the cost of devices. And that's something else that we still need to overcome. How do you subsidize those devices? How do you get the price down? Because you can't use a dumb device. You need a bit of an intelligent, smart device to get access to the internet. And that's a very, very important factor that I think we all don't consider in this whole ecosystem. It's good to get the connectivity there, but now you need the devices to actually get access to that connectivity.
Absolutely. That's very useful insight indeed, particularly when you're looking at the ecosystem, because most of the time we often lose sight on the bigger picture. It's not about connectivity. There are other variables that you need to factor in. You need to have a phone that is reliable, smartphone that you can connect, and so on and so forth. So I think those are very useful points that you've shared with us. We literally gravitated towards the end of our show. We're going to take one more short break because we also need to pay our bills, and we'll revert back and conclude on this fascinating conversation we're having.
This is Beyond Mentorship with Dr. Nimrod Mbele. It's brought to you with the compliments of Plus 94 Research, the science of decision making.
Welcome back to the last leg of the show. It has been absolutely beautiful having a conversation with Theo van Zyl, who is the head of Vox Wireless. Theo, one of the issues that we want to push, we deliberate in this particular show, we want to push the whole point of having as many mentors as possible, because in your particular space there are a lot of businesses that can thrive on a basis of relying on a bigger brother. So how important do you think it is to have mentors? I'm sure there are a lot of businesses who wants to ride on this wave, provided they've been supported by a big brother who understand the intricate parts of connectivity.
I think it's a very, very important point, and I think mentorship for small business, I think, is key. And in today's life, if you run in a business and you're not in some other way connected to the internet, you're not actually broadening your scope far enough. So I think part of that whole mentorship program and engaging with small businesses is one, to get your business going, but secondly, how do you expand your business? And how do you use the technology tools of today to actually expand your business? One example I could think of, if you're in a rural area, and we know that devices and the cost of devices is a challenge, connectivity is not everywhere, is that a local business could offer, they could get access to maybe even satellite connectivity or some form of wireless connectivity, and set up shop, whatever they're doing. They could be a spaza shop, they could be selling groceries, but to set up some form of devices and a connectivity for the community to consume and use as well. I think in that way they also share back to the community. They can probably charge for it, however their business model would work, but I think one can be creative around that. And I think there's a lot of that that can also help the communities to get going, because as soon as you have access to the internet and you are able to educate yourself, educate your kids, I think such a lot of opportunities start opening up for you in that way, that you could find business elsewhere. Where if you produce certain things, you can start creating, like a small online shop, a Facebook marketplace, starting selling your things. So there's so many opportunities in, I would call it the informal internet sector, that you could use social media and those type of aspects that is available today to start selling your goods and promoting your goods online as well. So I think that's a very important aspect. Besides running your normal business, you still, I think, need to have some form of internet presence and expand on that to grow your market.
I couldn't agree with you more, because I mean the importance of using social media platform also increases the competitive edge of any business, and those are very important aspects. I mean, I do like the point where instances where there isn't connectivity, satellite is probably the best, you know, because it's housed in one particular shop, and that also presents yet opportunities for local businesses to tap into that particular shop. And the other point that I like is it's leveraging on or emulating your bigger brands by selling online. It's obviously a practical way in which you can take your product and services out there, you know, without really spending so much money, because you're taking away the rental issues, you're taking away the logistic issues. There's just so much that we can do, provided we have sufficient infrastructure that would enable every single person to leverage on technology. Unfortunately, we're going to have to leave it here. It has been absolutely beautiful. Thank you very much for coming through, and listeners out there have really grasped important points about connectivity and what it really means for a business to grow. Thank you very much. We really appreciate your time.
Thanks, Nimrod. Thank you very much. One last thing to mention is cloud services is very important in small business as well. I think that enables you to run a business in the cloud without having any connectivity at your own place as well. So that's a very important aspect.
Thank you very much for sharing that. There we go. That's Theo van Zyl, who is the head of Vox Wireless, giving us very interesting details on the value of connectivity, the value of Wi-Fi for small businesses, whether you're running a B&B, whether you're running a coffee shop, when you're running a spaza shop, or whether you're running a garage that fixes cars. And all these issues are important. It's important that every single business person begins to to embrace technology as a springboard towards ensuring that their business is successful. Yeah, we're going to have to leave it here. It has been absolutely beautiful. My controller, thank you very much, Harry, for producing the show. It has been absolutely beautiful. Let's do this again. And remember, it does not cost anything to smile. Share the smile. Be kind. Shalom.